What does Issues Etc. mean to you? Later this month, we'll celebrate the one-year anniversary of the return of Issues Etc., and we want to hear from you. Please leave your thoughts about this worldwide outreach on the Issues Etc. comment line, 618-223-8384. Be sure to give us your first name and tell us where you're from, 618-223-8384. What does Issues Etc. mean to you? 618-223-8384.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. They call him the Weeping Prophet. There's even a book that's attributed to him, Lamentations. Of course, there's a lot more to Jeremiah than simply the sad parts, but Jeremiah, in some ways, is iconic of all of the other prophets. Some of them had less trouble, but along with prophets like Elijah and Isaiah and many others, there was a thread of persecution that runs through their ministry. People do not want to hear what they have to say, and there are prophets on the other side countermanding Jeremiah's words from the Lord with their own words. Not a lot has changed in the church since the days of Jeremiah. The church remembers this Old Testament saint and prophet on this day, June the 26th. On this Friday afternoon, Dr. Andrew Steinman joins us to talk about Jeremiah. He's professor of theology and Hebrew at Concordia University, Chicago. He's author of the book, The Oracles of God, The Old Testament Canon. Dr. Steinman, welcome back.
Nice to be back, Todd.
Jeremiah is known mostly for the fact that he was given a hard time by the religious leaders, and not just the political leaders, but the religious leaders of his day. In that sense, does he foreshadow Christ and then, by extension through Christ, all Christians who are faithful to God's word, even today?
Yes, I think in general that's one of the things that we see in Jeremiah is he represents in a way the persecutions that Christ later will face, and that anyone who's faithful to Christ is liable to face, because both religious and secular authorities don't care sometimes for people who stand up for the truth of the gospel.
What was the state of the people of God to which Jeremiah was sent as a prophet?
Well, they were very unfaithful at this point in time. They had, for a long time, worshipped other gods, had mixed worship of pagan gods in with the worship of the true God. They were really on their last legs, the people of Judah. This is the time, the 30, 40 years before the kingdom will fall to Babylon. And in fact, Jeremiah will live to see the Babylonian captivity. So it's kind of the last gasp of the kingdom of Judah, and it is a very sad moment in the history of the people of God in the Old Testament.
Is he simply a prophet of doom in that he predicts and then eventually, as you said, lives to see his prediction come true, the destruction of God's people and their land by the Babylonians?
Yeah, it's easy to think of Jeremiah that way as just a prophet of doom, because there are so many prophecies in his book where he's warning the people time and time again that if they don't repent, what eventually happens will happen. And so I suppose because he has all these vivid prophecies of the fall, it's easy to think of him as this prophet of doom and gloom. But he's also very much a prophet of the gospel. He not only condemns sin, but he holds out the promise of the gospel for those who continue to be faithful, even in this very wicked society that he's in. And he holds out the promise of the return from the Babylonian captivity, which he prophesies, which, of course, will allow God's people to continue on the path that he's ordained for them that will eventually bring forth Christ. So although he very much is associated with doom, he also very much is a prophet of the gospel and the promises of God also.
Most Christians in the Reformation stream would be familiar, hopefully very familiar, with a small section from Jeremiah's prophecy, chapter 31 of the book, where he talks about a new covenant. What is he talking about with respect to this new covenant and the old covenant?
Well, he's talking about the coming of Christ, and Christ comes to bring in this new covenant. As Jeremiah says in chapter 31, it's not like the old covenant that happened in Mount Sinai when God took the people by the hand and brought them out of Egypt, but they broke the covenant. But instead, it'll be a new covenant where God writes the promises of Christ on the hearts. He says, I will write it on the hearts, and everyone will know me. Under the old covenant, you could kind of claim to know God, you know, if you were among the people of Israel, even if you weren't faithful. But under the new covenant, only those who know Christ are really included under it. Anybody else is just fooling themselves. And he prophesies this new covenant, and I think it's very telling that when Jesus institutes the Lord's Supper, he refers to this. You know, he says, this cup is the new covenant or the new testament in my blood. And so every time Christians celebrate the Lord's Supper, in a sense, they are recalling Jeremiah's prophecy and the fulfillment of it in Christ.
Do we know what became of the prophet Jeremiah in the end?
Well, we know he was eventually forced to go to Egypt by some people who fled to Egypt after killing the governor that the Babylonians had set over the remaining people in Judah. What happened to him after that, we don't really know. He had prophesied to the people not to go down to Egypt, but they didn't listen to him, and moreover, they grabbed him and they forced him to go down into Egypt, and that's the last we really hear of him. So we probably can presume that he probably died in Egypt instead of in the land of his birth, but we simply don't know for sure.
What then makes this ancient prophet, Old Testament saint Jeremiah's ministry relevant and meaningful today?
Well, I think one of the things that really speaks to us today, and maybe to people in every generation, is how much God loves his people that he refuses to give up on them, even when they're in the throes of the end of the life of the kingdom of Judah, even after they have rejected God time and time again. He continues to send them Jeremiah and his prophecies over and over. And in fact, Jeremiah is the longest book in the Bible by word count. Even though God could have easily given up on the people, he doesn't. And I think it says a lot to us today that God does not give up with his gospel promises. He's faithful to them. He's always calling us to repentance, despite the fact that generation after generation oftentimes rejects him and turns his back on him. So it says a lot about the faithfulness of God to his promises in Jesus Christ.
The figure of this prophet who stands there kind of ridiculed by men of power and men of religious standing and continues to be faithful, continues in spite of the fact that he's being gainsaid by other prophets, seems to me especially poignant and especially relevant in Christianity today, that the faithful church occupies that Jeremiah kind of place in the world and the church.
Yeah, and faithful lay people and faithful pastors who continue to be faithful, even when they're in the minority, very much are in the tradition of Jeremiah. And Jeremiah is probably very much a minority in his day. You have all these prophets who are saying, no, don't worry, we're not really going to fall. God really doesn't mean it about the captivity, and Jeremiah is wrong. And all this law he's preaching that God condemns sin, we don't have to listen to that. Well, you know, we hear a lot of that today. And oftentimes, as Christians who are trying to be faithful to the Word of God and witness to his message of both law and gospel, and we're told, no, that's not the way it is. Well, we're very much in the same type of situation oftentimes, where we feel we're a minority in our society, and yet Jeremiah must have felt the same way, yet God was with him and strengthened him. And so I think it's a message to us, too, that God is still with us, despite the fact that at times we feel like we're vastly outnumbered.
Is it also, as you mentioned before, part and parcel of the church's ministry today, not only to kind of have that message of doom and judgment, but like Jeremiah, to point clearly and singly to Jesus Christ? About 30 seconds.
Yes, and that's the whole point, is Jeremiah keeps on pointing his people forward to the ultimate promise in Christ, and Christians have to keep on pointing to Christ, and it's indeed it's the Holy Spirit working through the Word that points the world to Christ over and over again, even as we approach ever closer to the coming of Christ.
Dr. Andrew Steinman is professor of theology and Hebrew at Concordia University, Chicago. He's author of the book, The Oracles of God, the Old Testament Canon. Thank you very much for being our guest.
Thank you, Todd.
The Oracles of God and our Issues, Etc., Book of the Month, the Lutheran Study Bible, are both published by Concordia Publishing House. Their toll-free number, 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040, or look for a link to the Lutheran Study Bible at our homepage, issuesetc.org, issuesetc.org. When we come back, we're going to talk about people who go to megachurches. The picture is of, by and large, middle baby boomers enjoying that extended adolescence when they go to worship at a megachurch. Is that who goes to megachurches? Certainly baby boomers do. But if we actually look at them, person for person, demographically, are we looking at the baby boom generation? And what does it mean when we find out that they haven't been at the church very long? 5 years, the vast majority of people who attend megachurches have only been there for 5 years. Is there a revolving door there as well in megachurches? There's a new study on megachurches from the Hartford Institute for Religion and Research. We'll talk about it with Scott Thuma, professor of sociology of religion at the Hartford Institute and co-author of this study, Not Who You Think They Are, a profile of the people who attend America's megachurches. After we talk with Scott Thuma, we'll spend the last 10 minutes or so of this Friday afternoon's Issues, Etc., going through some of the information about those who attend megachurches and what it means about the megachurch model. Michael Spencer, author of the blog InternetMonk.com, will be our guest. I'm Todd Wilkin. Stay tuned.
Faith Once for All Delivered to the Saints. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Gecko feet beyond human technology?
Answers with Ken Ham, one of the speakers at our National Apologetics Conference near Cincinnati next month.
You know, a gecko is a remarkable creature. It can stick to almost any surface, and in fact, it can run across ceilings and walls. Phenomenal design is seen on a gecko's foot. You see, small chemical forces are created by tiny hairs called setae, 3 million per square inch. It's remarkable. Now, at the end of each tiny setae, there are about 400 to 1,000 branches. Each ends in a structure that looks something like a spatula. And researchers said that this amazing structure was beyond the limits of human technology. Now, think about it. It would do the gecko no good to have this ability to stick on a surface if it couldn't get unstuck. The gecko uncurls its toes when attaching to a surface and then unpeels them while detaching. It's remarkable. The more scientists study the gecko's abilities, the more amazed they are by the complexity of all the design features that have to work together to make it work. Geckos are a testimony to our Creator God.
Today's the last day of the week. We're offering our new pocket guide on Charles Darwin, his beliefs, and his sad legacy. For your gift today of any amount, we'll send this fascinating guide to you to help you defend the Bible. Call our nonprofit ministry toll-free at 1-888-89-ANSWERS, 888-89-ANSWERS, or go to our website of answersoffer.org.
You'll find a clearinghouse of Reformation resources at newreformationpress.com. T-shirts, music, outlines of important theological books, plus lectures by Issues, Etc. regular guest, Dr. Rod Rosenblatt. Check it out, newreformationpress.com. If you like Reformation theology, you'll love New Reformation Press. www.newreformationpress.com.